Hare Krishna. Thank you, Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu, for creating this wonderful opportunity for us to be together.
Thank you. You created the opportunity by being here.
Unfortunately, the last few days I was a little sick, and it gave me some opportunity to think what sickness actually is, what pain actually is. The life in this material nature actually means souls dwelling in a body. Actually two types of bodies, two types of material bodies, gross and subtle. Generally we are more acquainted with our gross body, but we also know that the subtle body is there, and the subtle body is actually the cause of the gross body. And as long as we remain in the gross body, as long as the soul remains in the gross body, the body remains alive. And when the soul leaves the gross body, the body dies. And when the soul's influence over the gross body is unhindered, or soul's influence of through the gross body is perfectly all right, then we feel healthy and happy. But when the influence on the body becomes hindered, that causes sickness and that causes pain. We can consider it a little more deeply, or we can say a little more scientifically. Like the soul is there in the body, and in the body we have two vital centers. One is the head, the brain center, and the other is the heart. Head is actually the seat of the mind, and yeah, please switch off the cell phone. Souls are and the mind is the internal sense. There are five, the body has five external sense faculties: the eyes, ears, nose, touch, and tongue. And through these five senses, we register the objects of the senses, or the external world, the material nature. It is like the soul is in the body, and it is the soul who perceives, and the perception takes place through the senses. And through the senses we perceive, through the five senses we perceive five objects of the senses. like sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. And those perceptions are carried, sense perceptions are carried through the nervous system. And the nervous system, actually the nervous system ends with the senses. Like one set of nerves end with our eyes. Another set of nerves end with our nose, our olfactory senses. Another set end with our ears. Another with our skin. And another with tongue. So in this way, the five senses are actually the ends of the nervous system, and the root of the nervous system is actually the brain center. All the informations through the senses or by the senses, perceived by the senses and transmitted through the nervous system to the brain center. Isn't that how the nervous system is like? And it is on the head or brain center, there is the mind. And mind actually registers or perceives all the informations of the senses. Therefore, it is important that the mind is connected to the senses for perception. The senses may be there and the objects are there, but if the mind is not tuned into the senses, then the registration won't take place. Like, for example, our eyes are open, objects are there, but if our mind is somewhere else, we don't see the object. Only when the mind is tuned up to that sense, then only we perceive the object of that sense. So this is how mind is actually, the brain is actually the ultimate culmination of the nervous system. The nervous system throughout the body is spread throughout the body, and then it comes to the spinal column. It converges in the spinal column, and then the spinal cord rises through the vertebra into the ultimate center is the brain. So head is actually the center for the mind, which registers the perceptions of the external nature, material nature. And the other important center of this body is the heart. And heart is the seat of the soul. Head is the seat of the mind, but heart is the seat of the soul. And let us see what the heart does. Heart pumps blood. And what does the blood do? Blood carries the life energy, the vital energy. And it transmits throughout the body through the arteries and the veins. The blood gives out the life energy throughout the body, and then it becomes exhausted of that energy. Then the blood, that exhausted blood, comes back to the region of the heart and gets recharged with the vital energy due to the spirit soul. Due to the soul's presence there. And in this way, it goes on in cycles. The blood goes throughout the body, giving out the life energy, and then comes back to the region of the heart to get recharged, and then again it is pumped out throughout the body. In this way, the blood is circulating throughout the body, and as a result of that, the vitality of the body is there. Therefore, you notice when the heart stops, then all the functions of the body stops. If the brain stops to function, it doesn't really matter. Still one can live like a vegetable. Like you don't have the mental faculty or intelligence. He won't be able to register. He won't be able to relate to his sense perceptions. But he can continue to live. Like we see people are living in coma. Living in coma means the brain stops to function. But the heart is beating. Therefore he is still alive. But when the heart stops, that's it. So, in this way, the vitality is permeating throughout the body, mainly through nerve currents. The sense perceptions are taking place. And when there is some hindrance in the activity of the soul over the body, then that causes pain or disturbance, difficulty, uneasiness. Like in this way, through these two ways, the body is functioning, body is alive and body is active. Through the one is through nerve currents and the other is through blood circulation. There are of course other organs. Another very vital organ is the stomach. Stomach is actually the internal combustion chamber. Like in an engine runs with fuel. The fuel, by burning fuel, energy is created and that energy makes the engine run. Similarly, the engine of the body runs with the fuel of foodstuff, and this foodstuff burns in the stomach with the fire of digestion, and when the fire of digestion burns it nicely, the body is strong and healthy. But when the fire cannot deal with the foodstuff, the fuel for the body, then the body feels difficulties. Anyway, so ultimately, like, these are all different functions of the body. These are the three most vital organs of the body, or vital centers of the body. And when there is some obstructions or some hindrance in the functions of these body, which is actually the due to the influence of the soul, whether it is nervous system, whether it is blood circulation, whether it is digestive system, when they function properly, then the body is hale and hearty. The body is healthy and strong. But when there is some hindrance, some obstacle, then it causes us pain. we can just consider like this, say this finger. We don't really feel, finger is feeling fine, but just if we hit it, we feel pain. Why? Because the movement of the nerve current is obstructed, and that obstruction actually causes the pain. And so in this way we understand that the pain in this material nature is caused by the hindrance of the influence of the soul on the body. And when the influence of the soul over the body is unhindered, we call it pleasure. We feel happy. We feel healthy. But the reality actually is, this body is an external covering. We are not these bodies, but somehow or other we have become trapped in these bodies. And as a result of that, the soul forgot its identity and forgot its purpose of existence. Because the soul has forgotten the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His relationship with Him. Fortunately, we got this information due to Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's representatives. They came and they taught us, they told us how the spirit soul's involvement in this material nature is actually a matter of punishment. The soul shouldn't be here. We all shouldn't be here. We all came from the, we all are from the spiritual sky, and we must go back to the spiritual sky because we really belong there. That is where our original home is. That is where our actual residence is. So Prabhupada gave us that information, and Prabhupada taught us, made us understand the nature of this body and the nature of the soul. And Prabhupada made us realize that pleasure and pain in the material nature are just a matter of our karmic reactions. We have been acting in the material nature since time immemorial, and as a result of our wrong actions, we suffer, and as a result of our good actions, we enjoy. Prabhupada gave us that understanding, and Prabhupada taught us not to become perturbed by happiness or pain. They'll come and go, just as seasons change, just as day comes after night, and again after the day, night comes, and in this way they rotate in cyclic order. So Prabhupada gave us all the information, and Prabhupada taught us not to become affected by the affairs of this material nature and condition or situation of the bodies. It's not important what's happening. It's simply happening as a karmic reaction. We are just going through, by nature's arrangement, we are going through different experiences. But those experiences are meant to give us a, teach us a very simple lesson. And that lesson is, what is the consequence of forgetting Krishna? What is the consequence of becoming separated from Krishna? what is the consequence of losing our connection with Krishna? And Prabhupada reminded us that if we really want to become happy, then we must become connected to Krishna again. Then all our sufferings will end. We are suffering in this material nature because we are identifying ourselves with the body. And the body is a wonderful machine for receiving pain. And this material nature is a place of suffering. Just as a prison house is a place of suffering, this material nature is actually a prison house and it is meant for suffering. And this body is a wonderful instrument for receiving pain. Trying to enjoy with this body is only a waste of time. We are not going to enjoy through this material body. The example is given that just as one cannot quench his thirst by running after a mirage, similarly, we will not be able to enjoy in this material nature through this body. It's only an illusory concept. We think that we may enjoy, but actually there is no enjoyment. In the desert, there is a mirage that gives the impression of water, but actually, in the desert there is no water. What is there is burning hot sand. But that burning hot sand creates the impression of water. Mirage. Now if one thinks that there is water and I'll be able to quench my thirst, running after the mirage, it's a waste of time. It's illusion. Similarly, in this material nature, the endeavor for enjoyment is like a mirage, running after a mirage. No matter how much we run, we'll never be able to quench our thirst. The mirage will run away from us. No matter how wonderful the mirage or how reassuring the mirage may look like, we'll never be able to quench our thirst. No matter how fast we run after the mirage, we'll never be able to quench our thirst. Now, illusion is of this material nature is, especially in countries, not in countries like, I was about to say countries like America, but actually due to American influence, as the case with the entire world, a very wonderful illusion has been created that there is so much enjoyment. People all over the world want to come to America. Why? Because they think there is so much sense gratification. But when they come to America, they'll find that in America also people are as frustrated, if not more, as they themselves are. So, and we can see that people are madly running after sense gratification in order to be happy, in order to enjoy. But they are constantly being frustrated, and the result is they get into more intense kind of sense, more and more, gradually they become more and more involved into more intense sense gratification. And eventually they want to forget about this miserable condition of this material nature, and they get into intoxications or drugs. What does drug do? Drug actually numbs the sense perceptions. It acts as a hallucinogenic, creates an illusory hallucination, or it numbs the senses or makes one sleep. These are the only two actions that drugs have. And why, if one is really enjoying, then why would he try to run away from the reality? The drugs are actually causing one to either become forgetful of the reality, the existing reality around them, or enhance their illusory perception by creating a dream world, so to say. Now, if one is satisfied being here, why he would try to run away from here? So that shows that that people, although they may have all the facilities for enjoyment, they may have everything, they may have a lot of money, they may have access to all kinds of sense enjoyment, but they are not satisfied, therefore they are running away from this reality. Fortunately, Srila Prabhupada came and provided the proper information to us. And the proper information is that this material nature is not a place of enjoyment. And by gratifying your senses, you are never going to be happy. These are the two most important things Srila Prabhupada taught us about the material nature. Through this body, through sense perception, through sense enjoyment, we are never going to enjoy. It is simply illusory. And material nature is a place of suffering, so if you want to stay here, be prepared to suffer. Don't try to enjoy here. Be prepared to suffer. Because this is a place of suffering. And it's good to suffer. Because when you suffer, then you realize that you do not actually belong to this place, and nor do you want to be here. You simply want to get the hell out of here. So that is the real wisdom. And how to get out of here? Okay, here also there is another important consideration. We are in a prison house. And we can get out of the prison house in two different ways. One is by digging a tunnel out of the prison or scaling the wall. Now, trying to get out of the prison house that way is not the positive way of getting out of the prison. One may physically be out of the prison, but he won't be peaceful. The entire police force will be behind him. He'll have to run in the forest, hide in the forest or some ruins. And then when he's caught, his sentence is going to be even more severe. So that is, that way of getting out of the prison house is not really becoming free from one's imprisonment. The real way to get out of the prison is to understand what is the cause of our imprisonment. And the cause of our imprisonment, or cause of anyone's imprisonment, is breaking the law. Crime is to break the law. And so, if we are imprisoned because we broke the law, disregarded the law of the king, then let us recognize who is the king, and surrender and appeal to him. Please forgive me. I realize my mistake, and I promise that I will never ever make that mistake again. And Prabhupada taught us who that king is. That king is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada taught us to surrender ourselves to him. And if we surrender ourselves to him, he not only forgives us of our mistakes, of our sin, but when he sees that we are sincerely trying to serve him, then he actually invites us to his palace and allows us to be with him, live with him, enjoy with him. We all are hankering for enjoyment, but we cannot even imagine what kind of enjoyment is there. Where should I keep it? Or you can just keep it there. Yeah. No, it's all right. We can't even imagine what kind of enjoyment is there to be with him. Prabhupada also taught us that that king is not only the supreme controller and the supreme proprietor, that supreme proprietor, supreme enjoyer, supreme controller is our dearmost friend. And he is actually waiting for us to go back to him. He is literally spending sleepless nights waiting for us to return to him. That is how merciful he is. So going back to him is not at all difficult. All we have to do is just surrender unto him and sincerely pray to him. And that prayer Srila Prabhupada taught us is Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
O all attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, please deliver me from this miserable material condition and allow me to render some service to you as an expression of my love for you. That's what Hare Krishna Mahamantra is. It's a prayer. Prayer to Krishna. Please allow me to become connected to you. Please allow me to render some service to you as an expression of my love for you. Please allow me to love you. So, Prabhupada gave us everything, the perfect understanding of the material and spiritual nature, the perfect understanding of our identity, and the perfect way to go back to the spiritual sky. Therefore, when we get an opportunity to suffer, it is actually for our benefit, and we must take it as a merciful arrangement of Krishna. To realize that, realize the true nature of our existence in this material nature, and try to go back to the spiritual sky. Take this as an opportunity to become more fixed up in our devotional service, and give up our attachment to this body. Of course, we won't be able to get rid of this attachment of the body, because the body is there. As long as we have it, it is there. We are stuck with this terrible involvement with this body. As long as we have the body, we are stuck with it. We have to breathe, we have to drink, we have to eat, we have to do all kinds of things because we have the body. But a time will come when we'll become free from the bondage of the body. Nature has a very beautiful arrangement. Like at the time of birth, the soul's connection with the body is very, very slim, very little. But with the passing of time, the soul's entanglement with the body increases. Then it reaches the peak of its youth. That's the time the soul is most intensely entangled with the body. But then it begins to reduce. Soul's involvement or entanglement with the body begins to reduce. And then the body becomes old. And in this way, soul becomes gradually free from the entanglement of the body. And then finally, at the time of death, nature says, okay, free from the bondage of the body now. We get a chance to become free from the bondage of the gross body, but the subtle body remains. And it is the subtle body that carries the soul to its next destination. It is a subtle body. As long as we have a subtle body, we have to be in the material nature. But there is a way to get rid of the subtle body. We cannot, like in the case of the gross body, all of a sudden we become free from the bondage of the gross body at the time of death. But that is not the case with the subtle body. The subtle body doesn't die. Subtle body is more permanent. Not absolutely permanent, but more permanent. The subtle body doesn't die, but the subtle body can be transformed. And the transformation takes place through devotional service. Through devotional service, when the mind is engaged in thinking about Krishna, then the mind becomes spiritualized. Mind is transformed and becomes spiritualized. When the intelligence, when one becomes constantly engaged in devotional service, then Krishna gives him the intelligence, bhakti yoga, buddhi yoga. Tesham shatatu yuktanam bhajatang priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogamtam yena mamupajantite. So buddhi means intelligence. Now Krishna is saying that when one becomes constantly engaged in serving me, then I give him spiritual intelligence. In this way the intelligence is transformed or spiritualized by constant engagement in devotional service. And thus, when we become servants of Krishna, we become free from our false ego, mistaken identity. False ego means mistaken identity, wrong identity. Actually, we are servants of Krishna, but we are thinking that we are the Lord and Masters of the entire universe. So that is the mistaken identity. I am never the Lord and Master. I am only a servant of Krishna. So when we become engaged in devotional service to Krishna and become Krishna's servant, then I find my real identity. And thus, the mistaken identity or false ego dissolves or transformed or spiritualized. So in this way, mind, intelligence and false ego is spiritualized through devotional service. So in this way we can see that what Srila Prabhupada gave is very, very scientific. It's absolutely scientific. There's no room for speculation. And if we follow the process, if we practice the process, the result will be there. And what is the result? Becoming situated in our spiritual identity and thus become qualified to go back to Godhead. In this way, by being engaged in devotional service, our subtle body becomes spiritualized. That means we become situated in our spiritual identity. Although dwelling, although residing in this body, apparently gross body, but one is in his pure spiritual identity in that body. He doesn't, in this way, at that stage, he doesn't have a subtle body. A pure devotee, although in his gross material body, but he doesn't have a subtle body. That stage is called Jivan Mukta stage. Liberated even though living in this material nature. Or that is called Sarup Siddhi. Perfection of one's spiritual identity. He is situated in his spiritual identity. He is a liberated soul dwelling still in the apparently gross material body. Now, is it, why I'm saying it's apparently gross material body? Because is it a material body at that time? No, it's not a material body. His body is spiritualized. Because a pure spirit soul is in the body, that body is spiritualized. In this respect, Prabhupada gives an example of iron and fire. When the iron becomes red hot, is it iron or fire? It's fire. Somebody once told, no, Prabhupada, but it's still iron. Prabhupada said, touch it. And then, by nature's arrangement, when time comes for him to leave the body, he just goes back to God. So that stage is called Bostu Siddhi. Sarup Siddhi and Bostu Siddhi. Bostu Siddhi means that substance that he is, that spiritual substance that he is, he perfected that identity. So the perfect process that we have received from Srila Prabhupada, and we can just practice the process and rejoice and ecstatically go back to the spiritual sky. Even though we may feel some apparent physical difficulties, but they are nothing but the impetus for becoming more fixed up in our spiritual life. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
Thinking the subtle body, as long as one has a subtle body, that would mean that someone is not fully convinced that there is no material happiness. If the subtle body is related to that fact. But when one becomes fully convinced, then that is when.
You see, one may be convinced completely about the spiritual process that Srila Prabhupada gave, and he may be practicing it, but still he may have his subtle body because he hasn't, you know, the process hasn't completely transformed or spiritualized his identity. And that is the stage of sadhana bhakti. The stage of sadhana bhakti is, especially the Madhyamadhikar, bhakti is that one is convinced about the process of Krishna consciousness. And he is practicing, but you see, so many years of, or so many lifetimes of entanglement with this material nature is not just going to go away overnight. It'll take some time. And also, Krishna has his way of bringing one back to his lotus feet. Like sometimes Krishna may even, you know, keep us entangled in the material nature to get something accomplished, get something done. Krishna may keep us here because of that, for the sake of preaching, for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. So our business is to be happy that at least we are on the right track, and if we continue to practice the process, someday we'll make it. When we'll make it doesn't matter. But what really matters is that we do not deviate from this path. So if we remain on this path, then someday we will reach the destination. And that's why a devotee does not really care so much for liberation. His main concern is, let me render service unto Krishna, because I am his servant and I can continue to serve him even here. It's not that when I get a certain situation, then only I'll serve Krishna. The liberation, desire for liberation may be translated in that way. And that I'm not satisfied here, as if I cannot render service to Krishna here. Therefore, I have to go somewhere else to render service to Krishna. That's not an advanced understanding. So the advanced understanding is, well, Krishna's service is available everywhere. And there's so much service. So much service is there that so that often I pass it on to someone else and say, Prabhu, can you do it for me? When there is so much service available, why should I not take advantage of this opportunity? This place is wonderful. Right? This place is wonderful because there is so much opportunities to serve Krishna. The whole world is there to preach Krishna consciousness. And we have only 24 hours a day to chant Hare Krishna. So what are we lacking? You know, we have plenty of opportunities. And when we become engaged in service to Krishna, then are we in the material nature? No. Then we are in the spiritual world. That's why a devotee doesn't separately desire for liberation, because he's already liberated. He's already in the spiritual sky. Yes.
In our gross body, we cannot have control over what we do. But the subtle body, sometimes, like when you're dreaming, it's acting and it's doing things. Do we get any karma from that?
It says that in the age of Kali, subtle body means mental actions. Let's put it in simple words. What you think in mind. The mental activities, spiritual activities, or good actions in mind, generous good result, reaction. But the bad ones don't. So sinful thoughts in the age of, that's Krishna's mercy. The sinful thoughts do not create bad reactions. But pious thoughts will generate good reactions. Hare Krishna, let me introduce Udayananda Prabhu, our God brother. And his good wife, Rashishwari Devidasi. just arrived. They are Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu and Udayananda Prabhu are old friends from Radha Damodar days.
Good to see you. I saw a chair there with Uday. Did you see on the couch?
Well, I don't
know. Oh, I saw a chair. It's pretty good. What do you see? No.
Prashant?
Yes.
How was the feast?
Oh, went to the restaurant.
Oh.
Just went to the restaurant.
Oh, I see. Wasn't Nityananda Prabhu at home?
He met us out in front of the temple, and then we took our stuff over, and then.
Nice.
And so then he said, why don't we just go to the restaurant? It was very nice. Very nice. Wonderful. I hadn't been there in, I don't know, since 1989 or something. So it was just incredible. The whole place looks fantastic.
So we're having a little question-answer session. So, does it answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the reactions are there. But also another thing is often these dreams or the activities of the subtle body in a dream state doesn't accrue new karmic reactions, but the old karmic reactions get burnt out. But in other ages it's different. Even to think about something in mind, you know, was synonymous to being indulging in those activities. Like Brahma became attracted to his daughter in the mind. And just the effect of that was so heavy that he had to give up his body. Because just that polluted thought affected his gross existence. So he had to give up his gross body and assume a new body. Yes?
Maharaj. So we're still in the neophyte stage, and see how I explain this. And we haven't really developed a real taste for serving, but we're doing it because good for us, and we know we should be. So, and it says nothing wrong with then taking shelter of what Prabhupada said about, you know, if you just try to do your rounds and you try to render service and follow the principles, that I'll take you back to Godhead in this life. Because I know for myself, maybe if I don't just leave, if I'm not thinking that way, it's like that just gives encouragement. So, is it wrong to think that way?
No. You see, it's a different levels of understanding. Like, why sometimes Prabhupada said it's better to aspire for liberation? Because this aspiration for liberation is making us detached from this material nature. There's the desire for enjoyment in this material nature, at least, you know, we are becoming free from. So that way it is positive. But then when we go into a higher level of understanding and we get the taste of rendering devotional service to Krishna, and we realize that wherever we are rendering service to Krishna is actually a spiritual plane. So at that stage, we do not separately aspire for liberation. Right? So, you know, these are different stages of our spiritual developments. Generally, most of us are attached to sense gratification. Sense gratification means we are attached to remaining in the material nature. And if we at least aspire for getting out of the material nature and go back to Godhead, that is a positive sign that at least we are not trying to enjoy this material nature. We realize that there is no enjoyment here, but our destination is actually the spiritual sky. But then comes the highest stage of development, where we realize the importance of rendering service to Krishna. And we begin to consider, okay, when I go to spiritual sky, what am I going to do? Huh? When I go to spiritual sky, what am I going to do? I'm going to massage Krishna's lotus feet. I'm going to make some garlands for him. I'm just going to look at his beautiful form. Now then we consider those opportunities are available here also. Right? I mean, here also I can do all that. I can make garlands for Krishna. I can do so many things for Krishna. And on top of everything, what pleases Krishna the most? When we preach the glory of Krishna to others, when we speak about Krishna and inspire others to become devotees of Krishna. And I tell you, that service you won't get anywhere else. In the spiritual sky, that opportunity won't be there. So actually, this is a wonderful place to be in. And that's why it's so wonderful to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotee. Devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has some very special prerogatives. And that is preaching. And that is the highest spiritual activity. Thank you. Any other question? Yes?
Maharaj, how do we differentiate the difference between suffering caused by ourselves and suffering which comes by nature? For example, I sleep 1 hour a day and I cause trouble to my body versus I getting sick and my body suffering. How do we define the chronic reactions getting burned with suffering?
About sleeping for 1 hour a day. I mean, what's the relationship?
That's also suffering.
Sleeping?
I mean, lack of sleep. Because of lack of sleep, my body suffers.
Oh.
Does that burn my karma as I would fall sick and I would suffer?
Actually, you know, whatever happens in this material nature through the body is all karmic reaction. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasah ahankara vimuratma kartanam iti mannate. In the material nature, everything, gunai karmani sarvasah, sarvasah means everything. Everything is happening due to the modes of material nature and our karma. But being bewildered by our false ego, we consider ourselves to be the doers. But actually, we are not the doers. Therefore, when happiness comes, it is a result of our karma. When suffering comes, that is also the result of our karma. And especially the sufferings can come in three different ways. Some sufferings will be caused by our own body and mind. Some sufferings will be caused by other living entities. And some sufferings will be caused by natural calamities. But those are just the ultimate outcome of the sufferings. But the cause of those sufferings are actually guna and karma. Nothing is happening in this nature by chance or by accident. It is not that somebody doesn't like my face and that's why he's reacting to me like that. It is, you know, some karmic reactions in the past. You know, I must have done something to him that he is reacting to me like this today. You know, about karmic reactions, you know, like I had a very wonderful experience. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, I was serving him, and it was very intense, you know, to be with Srila Prabhupada and serving him means, you know, practically 24 hours a day. And I didn't get any chance to, I didn't get time to complete my rounds in the morning. So, after Prabhupada used to take rest in the afternoon, I used to go out and chant my rounds. And at the little away from our temple, there was a beautiful, beautiful grove of tall trees. And I used to often go there and chant, sitting there. So one day I was sitting and chanting, and saw one big black ant was crawling my toe, over my toe. So with my left hand, I just flicked the ant, and it went flying, and it bumped into another big black ant. And they started to fight. And it occurred to me that our karmic reaction is something like that, you know. Somebody somewhere flicks us and we bump into someone else and we start fighting. Why did you do that to me? But it is not that that poor guy did that to me. Yes, Chaitanya Chandraprabhu.
When we perform austerities in devotional service, that may be suffering in one sense, inconvenience. So does that inconvenience we do for devotional service, does that burn off our karma, or does that awaken our devotion, or is that both at the same time?
Yeah, it'll depend upon the attitude and with what idea or understanding, with what objective one is performing austerity. For example, Hiranyakashipu is performing such incredible, inhuman austerity. I mean, it's a kind of, you know, I mean, literally inconceivable. Like his whole body has been eaten up. Only the skeleton standing on the toe. Just every organ of his body has been eaten up. No heart left, no brains left. Everything has been eaten up. Not only just his skins and bones, skins and flesh had been eaten up. His organs also were of the body. His stomach was eaten up. Lungs was eaten up. Lungs were eaten up. Heart was eaten up. And his spirit soul was actually residing in the bone marrow, the marrow of the bone. I mean, such severe austerity. But for what? He wanted to become immortal. He was prepared to die to become immortal. Right? Whereas, Prabhupada sometimes said that even to sit in a Bhagavatam class is an austerity. I was saying that now that you are sitting through these difficulties, it's not easy to sit cross-legged on the floor, right? And for such a long time in such inconvenient condition. But because you are doing it for Krishna, Krishna will reward you. Another austerities that you perform are following the four regulative principles. It is an austerity, but why you are doing it? We are doing it to receive devotional service, to be fixed up on devotional service, and not to deviate from devotional service. So these are all austerities in devotional service. Apparently it may seem that we're sitting down, and why is it an austerity? But because we are doing it for Krishna or Krishna consciousness, it is an austerity in devotional service. Also Prabhupada many times mentioned that following the four regulative principles are the austerity for the sage. We don't have to go to the Himalayan mountain or go under water. We can just stay wherever we are, but if we follow the four regulative principles, that will be an austerity. And the reward for that austerity will be wonderful. Would you like to say something to them? Thank you. Yes?
Well, it's also said that real devotional service starts when we are actually liberated. So when we are bound in this body, when we identify with this body and try to perform some service for Krishna or Guru, how is that categorized as devotional service?
Hmm. Yeah. You see, liberated, what does it actually mean? Does liberation mean, you know, getting out of the material nature, getting out of this body and going back to the spiritual sky? Or is liberation is a state of consciousness?
State of consciousness.
State of consciousness. So we can develop that state of consciousness even we are here in this body, but by engaging the body in the service of Krishna. Then what happens? Then this body is no more an instrument for sense gratification and suffering. This body becomes an instrument to render service to Krishna. So, is this body still material or spiritual? Because it is engaged in the service of Krishna, it is spiritualized. So ultimately it will be a matter of consciousness. On the other hand, say, Durvasa Muni, he even went to Vaikuntha. But what was he doing there? Like, apparently he has gone out of the material nature. He penetrated through Brahma Jyoti, entered into Vaikuntha. But what is his consciousness? Save me, right? Save me from this dangerous situation. Although he was there and he had the opportunity to render service to Krishna in the spiritual sky, he didn't take that opportunity. Now, which condition we would prefer to accept? Go to Vaikuntha like Durvasa or stay in the material nature and be engaged in Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement?
Maharaj, also, isn't it I've always understood it that we're assisting Srila Prabhupada in his service to Krishna, you know, in his service to the Sampradaya. And as long as you are following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, then you are engaged in pure devotional service. Prabhupada said at one time, he said, all my disciples are pure devotees. Why are they pure devotees? Because they're following the instructions of the spiritual master. It's not that one may, the mind may not always be fixed on Krishna, but if you engage your body in following the instructions of Prabhupada, who is the Mahabhagavat liberated soul, then you are also liberated. You are also a pure devotee. So we're assisting Prabhupada in his service.
I heard Bhagavad Das ask Prabhupada a question. He said Prabhupada said that when one is engaged in the devotional service of the spiritual master, that one is liberated. But we don't feel liberated, we still feel conditioned by the material nature. So how do we reconcile the two. On one hand, it's stated that we're liberated pure devotees, but on the other hand, we're still affected by it. And Prabhupada said, when you begin to render devotional service, it's like getting on a boat to ride back to Godhead. But he said, sometimes the waters are a little rough, so you have to learn how to adjust and remain steady.
Hmm. Don't fall overboard. Yeah.
Yeah. Fall back into a material pool.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gopinath.